As a matter of fact, one great Bible scholar said that the Bible says has more to say about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. You know, when you talk about the rapture, you talk about the tribulation, you talk about Armageddon, the second coming of Christ, the great white throne judgment, the Bema Seat judgment, heaven, hell, that the Bible says more about the millennium than it does any other prophetic event. So that's what we're going to look at this week and next week.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Galais, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Millennium Part 1. So let's join Dr. Galais for the conclusion of the Millennium Part 1.
To the new birth, though their outward acts will be subjected to existing authority, Christ will rule with a rod of iron. And so what Dr. Wilmington is saying here is that these individuals that are born during the millennial is that even though Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron, they will submit outwardly, but in their hearts, you know, they will refuse to submit. And eventually, again, that's why Satan is loose at the end of the millennium because of these individuals right here. Those individuals who refuse to submit to Jesus Christ, even though he'll reign in perfect peace and joy and harmony, he'll reign from Jerusalem, that these individuals in their hearts will not submit. And so, you know, what this kind of shoots the theory, you know, when people say, well, you know, it's the environment that makes people bad. Well, that's not true. Right. You know, some people say, well, it's the environment, you know, that makes people bad. No, because these people right here, they're going to live in a perfect environment. And yet they're going to still refuse to submit to Christ. So, you know, so much for that theory of the environment. Okay, what are some designations? What are some names? You know, again, the word millennium is not in the Bible, but the concept is all throughout the Bible. One is the stone cut without hands in the book of Daniel, where the stone crushed the great image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And then it said that this stone began to cover the face of the earth. And that was Christ's kingdom, that Christ's kingdom was the stone, and that it covers his kingdom one day will cover the face of this earth. Here goes something. How many of you, and I know the answer to this question, so it's kind of a rhetorical question. How many of you have ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? That's what I thought. All of you. All of us at some time have prayed the Lord's Prayer. Well, do you know what you were praying for? In the Lord's Prayer, you were praying for the millennial kingdom. Notice this, our Father, which art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What kingdom? The millennial kingdom. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. When will God's will be done in earth like it is in heaven? It'll be during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So I bet you didn't know that. Well, some of y'all sitting out there are Bible scholars, so you knew that, right? But if you didn't know, now you know that the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for the millennial kingdom to come. It's also called the regeneration. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So again, this lets us know Now, you know, I believe he was specifically talking to the disciples, but I believe that we're included in that also when we talk about sitting on the throne and judging and reigning with Christ. So he calls it the regeneration. Jesus says, when I come to the regeneration, well, what is the regeneration? The word regeneration means rebirth or renewal and refers to a future time when Christ would make all things new. And when is that? During the millennial kingdom. All right. During the millennial kingdom, when he reigns and the disciples sit on the thrones. And again, we sit on the throne and we reign with him also. And when is that? In the regeneration, Jesus called it. Times of refreshing is another concept for the millennium. In Peter's sermon, after he healed the lame man, he referred to the 1,000-year reign of Jesus as the time of refreshing. The times of refreshing was a reference to the future kingdom. I like this right here. When those who have been weary, worn, and sad will be refreshed. That the kingdom, the millennial kingdom of Christ, is a time of refreshing. It's also called the restitution of all things. God's original creation was perfect in every way until it was ruined by the fall. The millennial will be a time when man and creation will be restored to the purpose which God created. Peter said, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. The word restitution carries with it the idea of being restored to a previous state. So the millennial is called the time of restitution. It's called the glory of the Son of Man. It will be a time when the Son of Man, who is Jesus, shall come in his glory and all his angels with him. Then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. And then it's called the return to Eden. That when Ezekiel wrote, Ezekiel said that the millennial will be like us returning back to the Garden of Eden. And you remember in the Garden of Eden, what was it? It was perfection. There was perfection in the Garden of Eden. So again, even though the word millennium is not in the Bible, the concept of the millennium is pasted throughout all of the scripture. And again, I'll say this, is that more is said about the millennium than any other prophetic event on God's calendar. Now, here goes my pet peeve. Y'all knew I was coming here. You knew I was coming here. During Christmas, we sing Joy to the World. Joy to the World is not a Christmas song. Joy to the World is a millennial song. Now, when we sing it every year. I don't know if anybody ever looks at me when we sing it, because I have no problem singing it. I have no problem singing it. But I just kind of chuckle to myself, and I just say, okay, I understand that this is not a Christmas song. I mean, it's a good, positive song, but it's not a Christmas song. And here goes the reasons why. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Now, as I read my Bible, now somebody, you can email me, you can text me, and you can correct me. As I read my Bible, I don't see where Jesus was received as the King. As a matter of fact, I see where he was crucified. In John, it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And I keep telling everybody that what we call the triumphal entry, because people say, well, didn't they receive him when he rode in? That wasn't Jesus' reason for riding on the triumphal entry. Jesus rode in on that day to offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. He rode in on the same day that they selected the lambs for Passover. So you can't show me from the Bible where Jesus was received as king. So when is he going to be received as king? During the millennium. This is a millennial song. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. He didn't reign when he came that first time. He didn't reign. The Bible says that he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Right? It says that that he was mocked, he was rejected, that he was crucified. He didn't reign. You know, everything but reign. It says, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. All right. Now look at this. Now tell me if this is true. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. As far as I know, there's still sin, and people are still experiencing sorrow. And if you stick your hand on a rose or a certain shrubbery, you're going to get stuck. Why? Because there's thorns in it. But what's going to happen? We're going to look at this next week. What's going to happen during the millennium? He's going to take the thorns out of this earth. There'll be no more thorns, that the curse will be lifted. It says he comes to make the blessings flow far as the curse is found. As far as the curse is found. This earth will not be under curse anymore. One of the things that happened when Adam sinned is that the earth was cursed. So it's not going to be, the curse is going to be removed during the millennium, wherever it's found, in human beings or in nature. Wherever it's found, the curse is going to be removed. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, right? So that's not happening. You know, people are, the most of the world is anything but righteous. There's a whole lot of unrighteousness in this world today. But when Christ sets up his millennial kingdom, the order of the day will be righteousness. And look at this. And the whole world will wonder at his love. Right now, people scorn his love. They mock his love. They reject his love. But during the millennium, and the wonders of his love, and the wonders of his love. So, you know, again, I have no problem with us singing this song during Christmas. I would think it would be nice that if, as we sing the song, that it would be introduced as a millennial song, but we are singing it as a Christmas song. So I'll just say that. So y'all, that's one of my pet peeves. So again, next Christmas when we sing it, and we are going to sing it, because we sing it every Christmas, y'all look at Pastor Glaze, and I'm going to have a smile on my face, and y'all going to know why I'm smiling. All right. Okay. And you know what? Lord willing, we'll be singing in the new building. Ah, yes, amen. We'll be singing in the new building. So I'll be up in that new pulpit, Lord willing. And when we sing it, you're going to see me smile. And then, you know, we got, excuse me, we got two big screens up front. In the current sanctuary, we just got one screen up there. In the new sanctuary, we got two screens up there. And so y'all gonna look at Pastor Glaze, it's gonna be double trouble, right? So y'all gonna see me on both screens when we sing the song with a little smile on my face. All right, okay. I'm just messing with y'all. I'm just messing with y'all. All right. Let's look at a couple things about the millennial. First of all, we will be free from temptation. In Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, some of my good Presbyterian friends, they say that because they would take the amillennial viewpoint, they would say that Satan is already bound. And I asked a pastor one time, I said, well, how was that so? And he told me that, well, you know, the fact that the gospel was able to go forth, you know, that shows that Satan is bound. And I was like, well, I don't know about you, but I dealt with him last week. and maybe it might not have been him. It probably was one of his demons. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know about you. You might even have to deal with the devil today, right? And you are a witness. You can raise your hand and say, well, if he's bound, he sure did beat me up today. If he's bound, he sure did attack me today, right? So one of the things that we know for sure is that during the millennium, he will be bound. And see, again, that's why these individuals that come out of the tribulation and that go into the millennium, that are that they'll have to get saved, right? They'll have to ask Christ to come into their life. And many of them won't. But because Jesus is reigning with a rod of iron, that they will fall in line and they will do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we can scratch our head and say, well, why would God let Satan out at the end of the 1,000 years? Well, that's the reason, is that he's going to be let loose because those who refuse to accept Christ in their heart, he's going to deceive them and they're going to follow him. And it's a shame. You know, isn't it a shame that people have experienced the ruling of Christ, and after all that time, they still want to follow evil and wickedness? But there'll be no temptation. We'll be able to take a couple songs out of the hymn book, right? Yield not to temptation. You can take that one out, right? Yeah, we won't have to worry about being tempted. The tempter will be removed during the millennial period, and that people will not have to deal with, as I heard somebody say, man, I don't want to deal with your mess. We won't have to deal with the devil's mess, right? During the millennial, because he'll be bound. There will be peace on earth. During this 1,000 years, you won't have somebody named Vladimir Putin attacking another country, trying to take what they have. You won't have other people, other leaders, trying to attack other nations, because it will be perfect peace on this earth. It's been said many times, there's not going to be peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And on the right-hand side, I love that right there. Up at the top is Hebrew. That's Hebrew writing. And, you know, I can read a little bit of Hebrew. You know, I can't read it as good as I used to be able to. But you know what that says at the top? Those Hebrew words? Shah Shalom. Shah Shalom. And what is that? The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Notice Isaiah 2 and verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords in the plowshares and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow, what a powerful passage. That swords, weapons of warfare, swords and spears will be beaten into instruments of agriculture, right? And there's not going to be any books on war, because the Prince of Peace will sit on the throne. And when he sits on the throne, there will be perfect peace on this earth. That's why, you know, again, another verse that I think is misunderstood is in Luke, where it says, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen when Christ was born. When is that going to happen? During the millennium. Peace on earth and goodwill, and towards men of goodwill. You know, that those who have the peace in their heart, that they can experience the Prince of Peace, that they can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. But there's not going to be worldwide peace, right? There's not going to be worldwide peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And so there'll be no more wars. And then let me finish with this. And I probably should have put this one first. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So again, we use this verse for Christmas, right? But this is really not a Christmas verse. This is a millennial verse. Notice what it goes on to say. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end, right? The increase of his government. What is his government? The millennial is his government, when he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. That the increase of his government and his peace, there'll be no end to his peace, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forevermore. Right? So again, we quote this verse at Christmas, but this is not a Christmas verse. This is a millennial verse. Now, again, I don't have a problem with us quoting the verse at Christmas time, but let's get it in its proper context. So it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So it's talking about his birth right there, right? That's talking about his birth, but the rest of it is talking about his government, right? And when is his government in play? His government is in play during the millennium. So we're going to stop there, and we'll pick it up next week, looking at some more very, very interesting things about the millennium.
Thank you for joining us today on And Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of the Millennium Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, the Millennium Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request the Millennium Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request the Millennium Part 1 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.